Welcome to Reformers Life Broadcast, a ministry of Dream Life Church International, where Dr. John A. Tashola is the senior minister. Dr. Tashola is also the founder and president of Ecclesia Word Ministries International, the International Bible Training Center, and Reformers Ministries International, a network of cutting-edge ministries and leaders. He's the best-selling author of several life-changing books. His strong teaching and preaching displays the incredible strength of the mandate upon his life. It is our prayer and desire that through this message, you will be imparted, changed, and encouraged to pursue the Lord. So prepare your heart now and expect from the Lord as we go into the message already in progress.
All he intended to do. But when we got born again, we came into alignment. We came into agreement. We came into the understanding of the good work that God has ordained for us. We looked at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible said, blessed be the Lord of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in where? In heavenly places. So God establishes blessings on our behalf in the spirit realm. And God's intention is to make that which he has established to eventually become a reality in our life. Remember Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, which is really a classic verse of scripture that really helps us to understand what happens in the spirit realm and what God expects of us in the physical realm. The Bible says that whatever we bound on earth must be that which is bound in heaven. So what it simply means is this, that the things that we need to bound and the things that we need to lose are already established in the spirit realm. Everything contrary to the will of God, we have a right to bind it. And everything in favor of the Spirit of God, we have a right to lose it into existence in our life. So we aren't binding something that is new. We are actually binding something that has already been taken care of. And we are not losing something on our behalf that is new. We are actually losing things on our behalf that already has been losing. And so the dynamics of the spirit realm is that which is established in the spirit eventually becomes that which is established in the physical realm. So God brings us into a season and say, this is what I want to do. I want to establish or I want to create a double completion anointing. Now think about it for a moment. Does that mean God does not do a thing, on an ongoing basis? Yes, it does. But there are certain seasons in our life that God does more for us or on our behalf because God wants to favor us. There are pockets of time that the Spirit of God works on our behalf and does more. It's almost like an acceleration of the heart of God on your behalf and on my behalf. We completed that series. It took probably 4 weeks. And then we began a series. And it was called what? Anybody still remember? We're talking about prophetic strategies for success or for victories when we come to new seasons. We began to deal with that for probably, I guess, 2 or 3 months. We began to look at what prophetic strategies are. One of the things that I said, which is so key, and I'm going to reiterate it as we go into the second phase, that you cannot forget is this, that my success or our victories are never contingent with the amount of resources that we have. It is not based on our resources. It is not based on how much we have or how less we possess. The truth of the matter is we tend to believe that our victories and our success is really based on how much we have. And so what do? We pursue more, believing that the more I have, the more I become great or the more powerful that I become. But I explain 3 things that actually govern success. Number one, I say that our ability to be successful or to be victorious is contingent on one, my ability to recognize and discern the seasons that God brings into my life. It is so key And I pray as we progress into the second phase, you will really begin to understand. It is based on my ability, not just to receive more, but to recognize and to discern. Say with me, discern. To be able to discern the seasons that I'm in. Why? Because God never walks out of seasons. He walks within the boundaries of seasons. Everything God does for you is because it is the season and the time for it to be done. It doesn't matter how you pray. That is why most people are frustrated. We get frustrated, we get depressed, because it seems like things are taking long. What you don't understand is everything God does is ascribed to a specific time and is ascribed to a specific season. So when I understand that, my concern is to be in alignment with the will of God always and to please Him. And as I do that, I'm expecting that when the season arrives, God Himself will begin to manifest it. So He says it's contingent on our ability to be able to what? To recognize and to discern the season. I sound well, so don't put it back like it was, okay? You know, to recognize the season that I'm in. So if I don't recognize the season, and if I cannot discern the season, I cannot really be able to receive from God. Think about it for a moment. So God shows up and God says, I want to bless you. But now knowing that He blesses us within the boundaries of a season, my inability to be able to recognize the season means I cannot be able to embrace the blessing or what God intends to do. Number two, we says it is not just based on we designing and recognizing the season, but also it is based on my ability to design and recognize the timing of God within the season that God has brought me in. The timing of God within the season that God has brought me in. So when I don't understand timing, even though I understand season, I'm still not a candidate for that which the Spirit of God intends. Number three, we says, these two aren't enough, that we still need to be able to recognize what? Prophetic strategy. That brings us to the definition or the meaning of what prophetic strategies are. Now, don't be threatened with the word prophetic. Because many times people hear it, when you mention that this word in a word of faith setting, they get threatened. But prophetic simply means the heart of God, the now word of God that is being demonstrated to you. In other words, God is saying, right now, this is what I want to do. So prophetic strategy simply means the divine plans, the divine method, the divine directives, the divine instructions that the Spirit of God releases into your spirit to make possible the endeavors of God. That's what it means. It means that God speaks an idea or gives you an instruction or reveals a method to you or a plan which you embrace, and the plans are what? They are empowered, we say, by what? By the Spirit of God. It is the empowerment by the Spirit of God that makes possible the plan of God or the agenda of God to become a reality. We also explain that there are three things that you and I has to embrace in order to make sure that every prophetic strategy works. Number one, we say that every prophetic strategy or every divine strategy that is revealed to you and I must be what? It must be recognized. You have to recognize that this is a divine strategy. Do you know that God blesses you with finances, not with physical finances? He blesses you with finances through strategy. So when you really don't understand or recognize when the Spirit of God brings strategies in your life, you will really not be able to embrace the blessings that God intends. Number two, we say that prophetic strategy has to be honored. When you receive it, you have to honor it as the voice of God that is directing you to victory. Do you know what you don't honor, you will not value? And what you don't value, you will not pursue. If you check your pursuit level, you can be able to tell that the reason I pursue something more is because I value it. And the reason I value it is because I honor it. So when honor is gone, value lives. And when value lives, passion lives. And so my ability to be able to pursue something is based on the honor that I have for it. And so we said that prophetic strategy must be honored as the voice of God. Now, why is that key? We said one key word, that the voice of God is the carrier of every prophetic strategy that is revealed to you. In other words, if I don't know how to hear the voice of God, I will not be able to recognize when God gives me an instruction, or gives me an idea, or gives me a directive. Because the voice of God itself is the carrier of every strategy that is revealed to our heart. Number three, we said what? We said prophetic strategy must be executed at the right time. At the right time. It must be executed. If you don't execute that which God placed on your heart at the right time, even though it was a God instruction, that instruction may not or will not come to pass. Now, that is what we spoke on for probably 2 months, going to 3 months. And the last time that I was with you here, I completed that phase. Now, if you remember when we began this series, this second series, I began to explain to you that there were 3 phases that we were going to look at. I know, over the period of time, some of us may not be able to understand that there are 3 phases that we are going to be looking at. And I explained that the first phase is going to be prophetic strategy. And then the second phase, we said we're going to be looking at seasons and timing. And then the third phase, we said we're going to be looking at the 9 strategies that you must embrace in order to be successful. Whether 2014 is gone, 15, 16, 17. These strategies are strategies, that we embrace and we work in over the process of time. So this morning, what I consider one of the most significant phases of this entire series, which is phase 2, is I want to talk to you on seasons and timing. Seasons and timing. Seasons and timing. This is one of the most difficult aspect or places of most believer. Seasons and timing. These are words that we use. They are phraseology that we use a lot within the body of Christ. The seasons of God. My season has arrived. God said you are coming into a new season. Have you heard that? It's a word that we are familiar. But the reality of the fact is, if most of us are asked about the seasons and about the timing in our life, we really don't understand what it means. And so we spew this word without understanding that they are directly tied to our successes and to our victory. You know, many years ago when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about this, it really, really encouraged me when you understand God never does a thing out of season and out of timing. It may be kindergarten, but that's where you begin from. You have to have that revelation in you. You can cry, you can win, you can complain, you can go to 10 conferences, you can change state and church. God still will not change, because the way the law works is that he operates within the boundaries of seasons and within the boundaries of time. Are you listening to me? It is almost like you and I walking to an apple tree or an orange tree or a banana tree during the winter and demanding that the tree produces fruit. Even though it has the potential to produce fruit, and we dance around and we cry around the banana tree and the orange tree and we rebuke it and demand that it produce, yet it doesn't produce. Do you know why it doesn't produce? Because it's not the season that is ascribed to it. Manakati. There is a season that is ascribed to the orange, and a season that is ascribed to the apple. So my concern is not about when it happens. My concern should come into alignment with Jehovah God and have a revelation that as long as I'm walking with God and serving Him, when the season arrives, that which God intends will become a reality. Are you listening to me? So, we want to talk about seasons and timing. How to recognize the seasons and the timing of God for our life, for your life. And then be able to make those transitions. Do you know life is about progress? It's about increase. It's about advancement. If you don't believe me, look at yourself. You don't look like you were when you were 12 years old. Okay? You don't look like you were when you were probably 20 years old, because there is a progress. There is a progression. Some of us try to fight so hard to look like when we were 12 or 20. And the thing is, you look deformed. Every time you try to go back, you never look original. Have you ever seen people who go through all of the plastic surgery? They look like cats. They look like dogs. They look deformed because you can't go back and maintain the way you used to look. The law says you have to keep progressing. You know, you keep progressing because advancement is better than regression. Isn't that true? Okay, now let's look at what did I say? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? Let's begin and let's track. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything, including that thing that you want so much, to everything there is a season, and then a time to every purpose under the heavens. You know, I had to ponder on this for a while. To everything, there is no exception. To everything, there is a season that is assigned to it. To everything. And when you go through, it began to explain. There is a season. There is a season to get married. There is a season for promotion. To everything, there is a season. But the Bible says, but also a time to every purpose under the heavens. So that means that which God has spoken about my life, the purpose that He has assigned for me, and that which He intends for me to operate, has a season that it comes to pass. But it also has a timing for its manifestation. A timing for its manifestation. I mean, if you understand that. That there is a season that the Spirit of God assigned for that which He has spoken about me to become a reality. But also within the season, there is a timing within that season that God intend that which He has spoken will become a reality. You know, I think back when I was in Nigeria. And I think back when I never knew what my destiny would look like. Because we are never privileged to know the fullness of what tomorrow is. But the Spirit of God gives us a peek out of our relationship, you know, through the word, that our future is bright and our future is great. And based on His promise, you pursue that word until your future becomes unveiled to you. But God had ordained, even without me knowing, that there was going to come the season that I was going to step into this region, and there was going to come the time that which He has called for me will become a reality. But that is how He operates in every aspect of our lives. So my job is not to keep screaming over the season. My job is to keep serving the Lord. And out of my relationship with him, I developed the ability to be able to recognize when those times come in and when those seasons come in. Are you listening to me? Because part of maturity helps me to be able to recognize when God is doing something and when I need to embrace what God is doing. So the Bible says that for everything, there is a season. And then there is a time to every purpose under the heavens. Now look at verse 17. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time appointed for every matter and purpose and for every work. There is a time. Underline the word appointed. There is a time appointed. In other words, it doesn't matter how I respond. If there is an appointment that is made, I cannot come before the time and I cannot come after the time. Whether I know it or not, whether I'm upset or not, God says, according to the schedule, it's like you plan to see a doctor and you call for an appointment. Or you want counseling and you call for an appointment and they pin the time there. Your appointment is 12 noon. So if you come by 11, you have to wait because somebody else was given that hour. That's the same thing in the spirit realm concerning that which God has assigned for us. The Bible says, it says, for there is a time appointed for every matter, every purpose, and for every work. There is a time that is assigned for it. So my life is governed by seasons and by timing, right? And God only works within the boundaries of the seasons and the timings that he has assigned for me. Now go with me now. Go to Acts chapter 14. I want to show you something in Acts chapter 14. And this is really, really blissful. Acts chapter 14. Now, in Acts chapter 14, verse 17. The context is, yeah, Paul and Barnabas showed up in Laconia. The Spirit of God moved on behalf of Paul. And they experienced a tremendous miracle of the cripple being healed. And when the people of Laconia, when they saw what happened, they ascribed to Paul and Barnabas as gods. These were gods. Because it was so much of a phenomenal miracle that they could not believe how a human being can do that. So they gave a name to Barnabas. They called Barnabas Zeus. And then they gave a name to Paul. They called Paul Hermes, which actually represent, the god of speech. But notice now, when Paul heard about this, Paul's reaction was he was upset. And he told them, we are not gods. We are mere humans like you. But Paul took the opportunity to begin to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at what verse 16 says. Verse 16 says, in generations past, he permitted all the nations to walk in their own ways. Then verse 17 says, yet he did not neglect to leave some witness of himself. For he did you good and showed you kindness. And then, please underline all the next, and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons. He says, satisfying your hearts with what? With nourishment and happiness. It is imperative that you catch what I'm going to say to you now. Because for every season that God brings into your life, there is a clear purpose. The purpose of every season into our life is to satisfy our heart with what? With nourishment and happiness. That's God's intention. When he brings you into a new season and brings you into a new timing, he has one intention in mind. I'm one alone. And that is to satisfy your heart and my heart with nourishment and happiness. Now, do you know what nourishment is? The word nourishment are things that promotes and practices growth, health, life, and health. These are things that God brings into your life that promotes and that produces. It produces life in you. It produces advancement in you. It produces health in you. So what God does when he brings me into a new season, guess what he intends to do? He wants to satisfy my heart. With what? With nourishment and happiness. And nourishment is to promote and to produce in me life, health, strength, advancement, whatever I need to move into the next phase of my life, God says, I'm going to give it to you. But when I don't recognize the purpose of a season, guess what happened? That which God intends to become a reality doesn't happen in my life. It doesn't take place because God's intention is, I want to actually bless you with nourishment. My past should not be better than my present. My present should always be better than my past. Because I recognize that I am in a new season. And because I am in a new season, the purpose or the blessing of that season is that God releases a nourishment in me. And it makes me happy. It makes me rejoice. All right? Now, go with me to... Let's see an example. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, the Amplified Translation. In the spring, how many of you know spring is a season, right? It says, in the spring, when kings go forth to what? To battle. Now, you have to understand this. In the Israeli, during that time, spring is known as the time when you fight. Spring, when a nation has to pick a war, when a nation has to fight another nation, they fight during springtime. So it is known that springtime is the time for war. It is the time where fights take place. So it's not strange to David, nor is it strange to the military men that were connected to David. They knew the season. They understood the season. So when spring or before spring, you ought to be preparing yourself in readiness because you understand when spring shows up, we're going to be going to war. So David knew this, but the Bible says, David sent Joab with his servants and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonite country and besieged Rahab. But David remained in Jerusalem. David did not go. See, the issue wasn't about just the season. It was the purpose of the season. And the purpose of the season says, this is when we fight. Now, this is what you have to understand, which is significant. Every time you refuse to embrace the seasons of God or that God brings into your life, you open yourself up for a counterfeit assignment to come in. Very important. Every time I fail to embrace the seasons that God brings in. And the reason I fail to embrace it is because I don't recognize it. Or just like in the case of David, we don't know. But we can assume sometimes because we don't recognize the season. Or sometimes because we really don't care about the season. It doesn't matter for what reason. But you have to understand that when you refuse to embrace a season that God brings into your life, you, not God, you open yourself now for a counterfeit assignment to come in. You will find yourself doing something. And in the case of David, the Bible says David went on the roof, looked at another woman, and then eventually commit adultery. And you could see the track of David. Not only did David sleep with Bathsheba, committed the adultery, but David murdered the husband of Bathsheba. Man, I think about it for a moment. Now, it is time for war. Everybody is in warfare mode, but David had an assignment. His inability to embrace the season that God brought to Israel exposed him to a counterfeit assignment. And it took the prophet Nathan to come in and bring a correction to David in a parable. And David was able to recognize what he has done. David repented. God forgave David. And God never mentioned it again. But now think about it for a moment. How do we respond when those seasons come into our life? My inability to recognize a season introduced to me a new assignment. Some of us are pursuing new assignments that are not meant for the season that we are in. And it gets us more frustrated. We get upset. Have you ever met a frustrated person? You can't even hang around them. They are never happy. There is nothing that makes them happy. Because there is something that they are pursuing, or there is something they want so badly, and it just looks like it just eludes them every time and every time and every time. And you know, the most simplest counsel you can give to people is to just come into alignment with God and let God work his way in your life. The Bible says, when a man's way pleased the Lord. You know, the greatest revelation that I received was the CD that I preached several years ago about making God number one. Anyone still remember? I mean, that's the secret of success. It's the secret of victory. That when God is number one in my life, God begins to think about me. God begins to resolve my situation. I come into that place of awareness of what I'm supposed to do. And it becomes much easier to receive what God has for me. Here is a man that worked with God, that recognized that these are the seasons that God expects all of Israel to function in, but yet he violated it. And it's important that you understand that. My inability to embrace the season of God exposes me to embrace a counterfeit assignment. Sometimes you can be frustrated not to be able to wait. And then you end up picking a business up. I'm just going to go do this. And then you go to do it. You embrace a counterfeit assignment. And you just operate in just frustration. It just looks like nothing is happening. Because nothing happened, you picked something that looks more better. You know, I thank God that we are not led by what we see. We are led by faith. Because the faith life helps to develop a sense of maturity in you and I. Do you know that Israel was led by the cloud and all they needed to do was to look up and not look down? And every time they looked down, there was a problem. Wherever the cloud goes, that's where they ought to go. But sometimes, you know, the cloud is turning right, and then we end up looking, oh, excuse me, cloud, there is a pothole here. You know, we're not supposed to be going. And God says, I knew there was a pothole even before I said turn right. Instead of looking at the cloud and following the cloud, we look periodically down and we look up and we look down. The cloud today is not out. The cloud is inside of us. And so that means that the more developed my spirit man is and the more matured my inward man is, makes it possible for me to honor God and to respond to him properly. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, this is a chapter and a verse of scripture that we read when we're dealing with the first phase. John 5. Look at verses 1 and we'll read to verse 7. Later on, there was a Jewish festival feast for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the sheep gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having 5 porches, all closed, closed doorways, and then verse 3 says, in these lay what? A great number of sick folk. Now forget about the kind of sickness that is mentioned there. Let's improvise and say, including your condition too. It was there. Not just the blind, not just the crippled, not just the paralyzed. There were people with cancer. There were people with tumor. There were people with various disease. Now notice what they were waiting for. Now that word is key because they understood that what they were waiting for doesn't happen every day. Are you listening to me? They knew that what they were waiting for doesn't happen every day. So they were waiting. They were waiting for the bubbling up of the water. Verse 4 says, for an angel, the word angel is messenger. For an angel of the Lord went down at what? Well, there are seasons that are appointed for the angel or for the messenger to come down. Now, just think about it for a moment. If one of those cripple or one of those diseased person begins to cry and say, oh God, you got to heal me. You got to deliver me. It doesn't matter how he cries. It doesn't matter what he does because there is an appointed seasons when the angels come down. And all I need to do is to begin to prepare myself to start rolling myself closer to the pool. To them, that is the form of preparation. But to you and I, there are spiritual preparation that we get ourselves in, that our spirit man becomes more sensitized and energized, so that when the Spirit of God begins to speak to us and begins to reveal things, we can easily be able to recognize it. Their preparation is to just keep rolling yourself. Because there is an appointed season. At appointed season, into the pool, and moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, step in was what? He was cured. God Almighty. He was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. Verse 5. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. Now, it's easy for we to read about this man and read about his condition. But you and I can be in the same condition too. Not physically sick. You know, just a place of complaint of not seeing God work on your behalf for a long time. And you just become frustrated and become mad. So this man has been in this position. And look at how long he has been there. When Jesus noticed him laying there, helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you want to become well? Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well? You know, there are various ways to look at this. But one of the ways you can look at this is this. Yeah, you, Yet Jesus showed up and see this man who has been in that state for that length of time. He has been in that environment where God moves, where the Spirit of God is in operation. He has been around the pool. He has been in that condition. I would think at some point you should be more closer to the pool. And by the way, you should be the first person to get into the pool. But do you know sometimes, over a period of time, when you have not seen things happen, we get frustrated, we get mad, we get depressed, and then the next thing that we begin to do, we begin to blame our environment. We blame people, we blame things, we blame places. And we begin to ascribe, it must be this, and it must be that, and it must be that, and it must be that. And Jesus asks the question, do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to be well? You know, just ask somebody, do you really, really want a breakthrough? Because it doesn't seem like you really want a breakthrough. Because the lifestyle, the application. I mean, you want to prosper, but yet you don't manage your money. You want to be healed, and yet you eat everything you want to eat. Do you really want to? You know, sometimes you ask people, do you really, really want to be healed? And the first reaction to everyone in America will say, yes. But if you want to be healed, why aren't you managing your money? If you want to be healed, why are you eating everything that are deadly? If you want to be, and we could go on and on and on and on. Because if you are passionate about your healing, you will do things that position you for healing. Isn't that true? If you're passionate about it. If you are passionate, you know, it's often said that when you are young, okay, especially those of you that are young, it is the best time for you to get life insurance. When those generational diseases have not yet appeared in your body. but you see, the young ones don't understand it. They postpone it for a while. When the generational curses now begin to catch up with you at certain age, and then when it catches up with you, all of a sudden the condition is found. But I mean, when you are young, in your 30s, in your 20s, you say, I'm going to get a life insurance. Because really, pretty much, at those age, there are sicknesses and diseases that are not yet in full manifestation in your body, whether from your family or from any other condition. But we really don't pay attention. And what we do, we die broke. And put the expenses on innocent people. I mean, you need your family to be able to say, you know, they're performing your funeral with one eye, they're crying, but with the other eye, they say, glory to God. They just say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Because you left them loaded. I heard the pastor say this in Louisiana when I went to preach for him. He says, my wife and my children becomes instant millionaire when he died. He said they become instant millionaire. Instant millionaire. That's someone who actually look, you know, towards their family. You know, sometimes we get so religious, you know, in a lot of things that we fail to understand what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us. Do you know your family don't have to act broke and look broke and be evicted and cannot survive? They should be able to say, your son or your daughter say, Daddy was good. We love Daddy. Shoo, thank you, Jesus. You have to be able to say that. Yeah, I mean, just ought to be able to say that about him. He said, oh, took us to the playground and took us to the we miss daddy. Oh, daddy. When that is over, then they speak of daddy. Oh, boy. He took care of us. But you know what? We put the bills on people. And some people are like that. Just load the bills on somebody else. Let them take it. Say, well, I heard somebody say, we clear the bill when we get to heaven. Don't worry, I pay you back. We'll get to heaven. But the question is, do you want to be here? Because if I want to, I will do the things. I will do the things that promotes healing in me. Say, think about it. Do you want breakthroughs? You got to ask yourself, do you really want to prosper? You know, you see, everyone says it, but if you go in there, your ability to meet the condition of a thing is actually what tells if you really want to do that thing. Because if I'm not meeting that condition, I really don't want to. If you don't believe me, think about something you like to do so badly. And think how you impose on yourself. And how you inconvenience on yourself. And how you readjust your plan just to get it done. And that's the same thing Jesus was asking this man. The invalid answered, sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to come into it myself, somebody else kicks me aside and they go ahead of me. And then I cry for my uncle. My uncle doesn't show up to help me. And then they send a message to my pastor. And my pastor says he was out of town and he was very busy. And then they decide to call on the elders that assist the pastor. And the elder says, well, you can help yourself because you've been receiving the word for a long time. Now, think about it. It's one blame upon the other. And another blame upon the other. And we just keep blaming everyone. But if he knew that there is an appointed season when these things happen, all I need to do is you just keep rolling yourself and keep rolling yourself, and you become the first person that is positioned to be healed or to get into the pool. That's because you want to be healed. But when you don't want to be healed or you don't want a change, it becomes really difficult for you to even recognize a season, nor will you embrace a season. Because you don't recognize it. And so you won't embrace it. And you just expect, well, what did they say? Sarah, Sarah, whatever happens, happens. You know, we just play this stuff. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. The reality is when God brings you into a season, there are things that ought to happen. Things that ought to happen. Because God never brings a season in without something planned. We saw it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Spring came. People ought to be fighting. It is a time for war. And so everyone that is there ought to reposition themselves for war. Except David. Okay? Now, what are seasons? What do we mean when we talk about seasons? There are three meaning of the word seasons that you need to recognize. Number one, seasons are pockets of times. It's an accumulation of time, pockets of times that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. He brings it into the believer's life as he wills, to accomplish his purpose or to accomplish a specific agenda. Seasons are pockets of times. These are pockets of times that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. The Holy Spirit wills it. He brings it into your life so as to accomplish a specific purpose. Now, that's exciting. To accomplish a specific purpose. So my job is to recognize these seasons, which are pockets of time. But while in the season, also to be able to recognize what is it that God or the Holy Spirit wants to do. Number two, very key. In the Greek, another word for season is opportunity. 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 So seasons are periodic opportunities. These are periodic opportunities that the Spirit of God allows or brings into your life to accomplish something. These are periodic opportunities that the Spirit of God allows or brings into our lives to accomplish His agenda or to accomplish something specific. Now, when we use the word opportunity, you need to understand what opportunities is. The word opportunity simply means this. It simply means a favorable or a suitable time and condition. It is a favorable or a suitable time and condition that is made available or that is provided for you. Okay? Opportunity is simply a favorable or a suitable time and condition that is made available or that is provided for you. And this sometimes could come through circumstances. It could come through circumstances or it could come through chance to advance or to prosper. Now, I never forget, because there are individual opportunities that comes into our life and there are corporate opportunities that comes into our life. I remember just a few years ago when the nation was going through a crunch, the economic recession that the nation was going through. And God gave the nation, speaking about the body of Christ, an opportunity. Opportunity, a favorable condition. It's almost like you could buy a house more cheaper than you can ever. GM, General Motors stock, was like just a cent. BP, and the opportunities was all available. It was a season that was made available for you and I to prosper. So what did we do? We brought people in and we, you know, talk about stocks and talk about this stuff. Come on, take hold of these opportunities. See, because of our thinking, most times, many people didn't. Well, Pastor Vicky and I, we just reap a lot of the stocks. Because I understood that was a season. That was a season. That was a season. And so you were looking for all of the stocks, everything. It was for a dime and a nickel and all of this. And you understand that they will not remain like they are. Because when the season is over, all of a sudden, everything increases. And God prospers you out of your ability to recognize the opportunities that comes through season. And many times, the reason we don't act at this moment is because we weren't prepared for the opportunities. So when the opportunity comes, you can't even take advantage of it. Houses that cost $1 million became $400,000. Homes, $400,000, became $100,000. I mean, just, it's almost like the scripture says, man, the days are coming where that which is so expensive will now be a penny. But the thing is, even if it's a penny, there are some believers that don't have a penny to even purchase it. Does that mean God doesn't prosper other times? He does. But there are seasons that all of a sudden, it just happens. It just happens. It's like, okay, it just happens. My God, it just happens. You didn't know it was going to come. You didn't know it was going to happen. And God turned you into a success simply because you recognize a season that came in or an opportunity that came in or a favorable condition, a favorable situation that comes in and you take advantage of it. and somebody paid $3 million for something, and all you did is to pay 200 something thousand for it. And before you know, the very thing get jacked up. But we don't think like that. The reason we don't think like that is because we don't even understand seasons. We don't recognize seasons. And so when he sees it, do you know opportunity when he's looking at you doesn't introduce himself? He doesn't tell you, excuse me, my name is Mr. Opportunity. Will you just embrace me right now? I love you. No. You have to recognize it. But beyond recognition, you have to be able to discern the spirit of opportunity for you to embrace an opportunity that comes to you. That's why I say to you, success and greatness is not based on the resources you have. All God has to do is to give you a strategy that you recognize and you embrace it in the right season and you become successful. Number three. So the first one is seasons are pocket of times that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives so as to accomplish a specific agenda. Number two, seasons are periodic opportunities that the Spirit of God allows or bring in to accomplish his agenda. It brings in an opportunity. Look with me quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians. Before we look at 1 Corinthians 16, let me give you the third one. Seasons are open doors. Say with me, open doors. That are presented by the Spirit of God. Open doors that are presented by the Spirit of God to the believer to enter in. Seasons are open doors that are presented by the Spirit of God to the believer to enter in so as to accomplish the purpose of God. You know, I was just in Brisbane, Australia. Well, that was the first time I've been to Brisbane. I've been to Australia. I go to Australia every year. But that part of Australia, that was the first time. But when I was in Perth, Australia last year, and this pastor flew to Perth, Australia, to be in the meeting, came all the way from Perth, which is probably 5 hours of flight, or 5 to 6 hours of flight, to come to Perth to hear me minister. Right after the ministry, he said this, I want you to come to Brisbane. And I want you to make sure that you come every year to Brisbane. Well, I don't need a rocket scientist to understand that there is an open door that is presented to me. See, seasons are open doors. See, what I'm sharing with you right now, you have to be sensitive in your spirit to be able to recognize these things. Because success and victory, whatever form of success that you desire, are behind these doors. When you recognize them and when you embrace them. And then I got to Brisbane and I was ministering. And then they introduce this pastor. And the pastor says, I've met you. And you know how you try to act like you've met someone and you've not. And I say, and then he realized that I couldn't remember him. He says, remember the full gospel businessmen meeting in Miri. Miri is a place of Malaysia. I think we went together. Pastor Kassan was with me there. He said, you were ministering to, they were all multimillionaires, you know, the full gospel businessmen. He said, you were ministering to them. And I was there. I was one of the pastors that was there. And when I heard that you were coming, I said, I have to be there. He said, please, when you come here to Brisbane, we want you to come also to us. Well, think about it. It's an open door. Do you understand what I'm saying? Seasons are open doors that God gives to you. He doesn't have to be ministering doors. It could be other doors. You could just tell, oh my God, I am in a season right now. And you got to ride the season real good, because just as season comes, seasons what? It goes. And then you have to wait for the season again to come, you know, for you to embrace that which God intends. Because God walks in seasons. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Hallelujah. You know, that's why one of the things that I do is praying in the spirit. I pray in the spirit all day. Lebo sukratalama. So I could tell when there is an open door. Oh, this is an open door. And the thing about open doors is, God does not just open one. It's almost like a card, like a domino. And you could tell nothing is ascribed to you. It's not because you're the best looking person, but you just step into a considered right season.